You're listening to Inside iOS Dev, a show about real-world iOS development, here with your lovely host, Andrew Roan.
And amazing Alex Bush.
And today we're going to be talking about dependency injection. Alex, what can you say about it?
It's awesome.
All right. Talk to you guys later. See you next week.
Wrap it up. But no, really though, dependency injection is a code technique, I guess. And one of the solid principles kind of advocating for that dependency inversion, the last one as far as I recall. Essentially what it means, and kind of funny thing that I keep hearing from people, a lot of developers already actually know what it is and they use it, but some of them just never kind of knew the name or like formal definition of that thing. But essentially dependency injection is an objective-oriented programming technique where to give one object a behavior from another, you would inject it to be used inside of that object. And by injection, we mean, roughly speaking, in most of the scenarios, either pass it to as a param in a function call or a method call, or pass it as one of the properties in the constructor. And then internally in that object that you pass it to, let's say object B, and object A is that what you pass, you'll be using that inside that object B.
Okay.
In a nutshell, that's what it is. There are various techniques how you would inject things into one object into another, and essentially those are the techniques, right? You would either have a constructor injection or initializer injection where you pass your object and then you save it to a property.
Upon the creation of the object, you are adding it to your object.
Yep. And then later in other methods inside of that object, you kind of reference that the thing you passed, you save it in an instance variable or property rather. And or you pass it you have a publicly assignable property on your object B, right? Again, A and B. And then somewhere after you created and initialized your object B, you assign onto one of its properties, you assign object A. That would be dependency injection as well, just not through a constructor.
Mm-hmm.
The timing here, right? Like you cannot rely on that thing being there right away, unlike with a constructor.
Yeah, so I was reading Martin Feller has an article on dependency injection, and he says to prefer dependency injection upon initialization or construction because for a couple reasons. One is then you'll know that dependency is always there and you can depend on it to be there. And another one is you can just kind of, if you can create your object with all of its dependencies injected upon initialization and creation, you can just think of it as just like this thing that contains everything that you need, and it's just like this perfect form of just, it's just, everything's all set up and good to go and created upon its creation. It's done.
It's composed, right? Yeah. This is why that specific technique is mostly, when people talk about composition over inheritance or there's composition in general, that's what they mean. When you create, aka compose your objects, you take all the pieces necessary that go inside of it and just put them in your constructor, and then that object will have them after it's created. But yeah, but also you can like assign it to a property later, and as we mentioned, it's reliability question, right? Can you rely on that thing being there or not? And that's where you would, with Swift, for example, you would have those most likely defined as optional variables, right? Because you don't know if they're there or not.
Yep.
But with the constructor ones, it's going to be lets that are definitely there. And the third kind of way of doing it is simply passing it as a param to a method that you're calling.
Yeah.
In that sense, as same thing, like, I guess it could either be an optional or not there, and you could rely on it or not, but you pass it that way. And then you use it in the function, and then it's gone, right? When the function execution is done. But yeah, and overall, that's really what dependency injection is. But what it gives you all the benefits of abstracting things out and composing, as we mentioned before, composing objects and swapping behavior on the fly. And that goes back to, I guess, kind of relying on protocols and the higher level abstractions. Let's say, you have an object A, and you have two other objects, B and C, and object A depends on interface that and a protocol that both B and C implement. So at the runtime, you could actually instantiate your object A. Let's say you had a inject in its constructor, right? One of either B or C. So you could inject either B or C, which both implement the same protocol, but then they can have different...
implementations.
Different implementations and behaviors.
So you get different behavior.
And that would be, again, one of the solid principles. I forgot the specific name of it, but essentially kind of rely on abstractions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's open closure, I believe, where you... your object A now all of a sudden becomes without... it's closed for the modification. You did not modify it, but you changed the behavior. It's open for behavior changes because you can swap objects that it's using internally. Overall, that is what dependency injection is. People take it to a... kind of becomes cumbersome in some scenarios where you have a lot of dependencies on your objects, in your objects, and you inject a lot in your constructors. So people try to automate it and take it to the next level and come up with dependency injection frameworks, which we used one at Vanilla.
Objection.
It's called Objection, right? That's a specific Objective-C injection framework. In our experience, we found it to be kind of doing more damage and harm than benefiting us. Because all of the injections were too easy to do and they were explicit as well, but not, I guess when you create your objects, you're not, like, you can have 20 or 30 objects injected in them and you do not experience the pain of that.
It made it too easy to inject dependencies.
Right, which made those objects too overblown with those dependencies.
Yeah, then it was breaking, like, single responsibility. Because you could just inject things so easily.
But then if you would have injected everything manually, every time you would have to, like, create 30 objects to inject there, you will feel the pain. Right, that's kind of the conclusion we came to. You would feel the pain, and it would be the smell for you that something needs to be refactored here. Maybe that thing's just doing too much, that, you know, because it has so many dependencies.
Yeah, you're having to inject 30 dependencies, then it's likely.
Yeah.
You're doing way too much.
That's why, kind of, at least I personally so far, kind of doing both, playing with both, or like working with both. Dependency injection frameworks and doing manual dependency injection, I kind of go in favor of manual dependency injection because it's, again, explicit. You feel the pain. You might want to automate things with, like, factories, but at least it's not cheating. Like, dependency injection frameworks feel like cheating.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Can we give a concrete example? So you kind of, like, said, like, A injects B and C.
Mm-hmm.
Let's like, can we give a concrete iOS example? Like, say we're injecting dependencies into a view controller or something. Can you illustrate it in that way so it's a little more clear for me?
Let's say you have a view controller that display. You need to show in your app, you need to show a view controller that displays a list of posts.
Okay.
And right now your user just authenticated and you need to transition from one view controller to another. And well, again, right, the one you're going to show is displaying posts. And that's
like a feed, like posts, like Instagram or something.
Like Instagram.
Twitter. Yeah. Okay.
And let's imagine that in your particular business use case, you not simply displaying them and like the first 20 of them, right? You also need to persist those posts to disk so that the rest of the application later might, like, it's caching, essentially. They might display it when the user is offline or something.
Yeah, no network.
So already you have, what you have is kind of two things there. You need some object to do networking to get the posts. So that's one responsibility. And you have another object or a set of objects to do the saving to disk part, right? That's another responsibility in your app. And what you using dependency injection, what you could do is when you, but it's all done, sorry, to step back, but it's all done within that view controller that you're about to present and create. So with dependency injection, what you could do, you could instantiate your view controller, let's say it's called posts view controller, with two dependencies. One object being posts service. That one's going to be doing networking.
Right.
And another one is posts storage. Okay. That one's going to be doing the saving to disk. And you would create your initializer for your posts view controller that has two params in it. One is the post service, another one is post storage, and you will have two internal, not publicly available properties, let properties for post service and post storage.
Those are the two dependencies.
Those are the two dependencies. And then in your initializer,
inject them.
After you pass them, inject them, you assign them to those properties. And here you go. Those two objects are available in your view controller. No one else knows from the outside that they are there or whatever you do with them in that view controller. And then the view controller in its, let's say, view did load or some other place, first is going to use the one of them, which is service one, to do networking requests, to send the GET request to the backend and get the list of JSONs for the posts to display. And then after that, it's going to use the storage object, to store those posts to disk. And then it will present it on the screen in a table view or whatnot.
Right.
So that would be an example of, like, you injecting them, right? And rather than, like, here you separate concerns already by doing that. Your view controller really doesn't do any networking or any core data or whatever you have in storage layer. You delegated those responsibilities to those two other objects, and that's explicit now, that your view controller does not work without those two things being injected.
Right, because I have this initializer explicitly showing that I need them.
Yep.
Cool, makes sense. Can you touch on testing? I feel like we haven't talked about, because...
Oh, yeah, right. That is another thing kind of where dependency injection helps with. So in this scenario, what do you ideally want to do for those, again, let's say that view controller, right? For this service and storage objects that your view controller depends on, you want really ideally depend on not their specific class types, right, of those two things, but rather on protocols. Let's say posts service protocol and post storage protocol. And those respective objects just simply implement those protocols, which means to verify the behavior in your tests, right? To verify the behavior of your view controller. Let's say you want to test that your view controller, upon view load, it sends a request using the service object to the backend to get the posts. So what you can do in your tests, you kind of create a mock object that implements for your service, that implements the post service interface or protocol, and then you inject that thing in your view controller that you're testing and verify via, like, let's say in Swift, it just could be a property assignment or a variable assignment, that a specific method that you're expecting in this service was called when the view loaded. And that way, it helps you test it, because otherwise you could not, you have to either subclass or something and do some trickery there. But relying on abstraction without behavior and protocols without behavior, using dependency injection helps you with that. And it also gives you the benefit of swappability. Let's say later you have a different service object that's doing better networking and faster, or maybe even using sockets or who knows what, to get the data from the server. You just write a new implementation, but your protocol stays the same. And your view controller now got new behavior and kind of does more without ever being changed.
You just pass in this new dependency, this new class with the new behavior that conforms to this protocol, and it just passed into the view controller.
Precisely.
Beautiful. I like it. Cool. Is that about it?
Yep.
Great. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Follow us on Twitter at InsideIOSDev. Contact us on email at hello@insideiosdev.com. Thanks so much. This is Andrew Rohn signing off.
And Alex Bush signing off as well.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.